Good afternoon. This is quite a sad day for me because while I said we were going to be in the Gospel of John for two more Lord's days, this is it. We're going to close out the Gospel of John in our study today with, I believe, sermon number 111. So and as we were singing this hymn, my prayer is truly that through the study of this book of John, that Jesus would become more to us, the name that charms our fears, that bids our sorrows cease, music in the sinner's ears, because there's health and life and peace and there's forgiveness in the Lord Jesus Christ. And if ever you think of the Gospel of John, I hope you will call to mind the main theme throughout this gospel, that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, and that these things were written that we might believe, and that believing we might have life in His name. The purpose of the gospel, as well as the aim, the divinity, the theme, the divinity of the Lord Jesus Christ throughout. That Jesus, the Son of Man, who walked this earth, was truly God, the eternal Son, the Logos of God, the Messiah, God Himself. And as we come to the last section of this book, I trust that the Lord would, as we close out this study, I just thought it was a good ending to this, where Christ's last words recorded in this gospel, in that personal conversation with Peter, "Follow me. Follow me." And this is where we pick up when we're done with John. We follow the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, let's read the last portion. And that's from verse 19. I'm actually going to pick up halfway through the last sentence in verse 19 because it brings out that theme also through to the end of verse 25. John chapter 21, in the second part of verse 19, when Jesus had shown to John, to Peter, what kind of death he would have to die. After saying this, he said to him, "Follow me." Peter turned and saw the disciple whom Jesus loved following them, the one who had also leaned back against him during the supper and said, "Lord, who is it that is going to betray you?" When Peter saw him, he said to Jesus, "Lord, what about this man?" Jesus said to him, "If it is my will that he remain until I come, what is that to you? You follow me." So the saying spread abroad among the brothers that this disciple was not to die. Yet Jesus did not say to him that he was not to die. "But if it is my will that he remain until I come, what is that to you?" This is the disciple who's bearing witness about these things and who has written these things. And we know that his testimony is true. Now there are also many other things that Jesus did. Were every one of them to be written, I suppose that the world itself could not contain the books that would be written. What a wonderful ending to the wonderful gospel of John here. And if you want a heading for our sermon today, what it means to follow Christ, as I said last week, we will talk more about this, what it means to follow Christ. And we observed last Lord's Day in Jesus' dealings with Peter, and it quickly becomes clear that it's no light thing for Peter or for anyone to say and mean it when we say that we love Christ. Not only is Peter reinstated, as it were, as we observed last week, by our Lord since his threefold denial, but we observed in our Lord's gracious dealing with Peter that the Lord gives him opportunity three times to confess Christ and his love for him. And you can be sure that was a bitter reminder to Peter of his three times denial of the Lord. And so by challenging Peter's love three times, it seems that here Peter began to understand that day the true cost of following Christ, even as Jesus pointed out to him what manner of death that he would die. And after explaining to Peter that supreme love for Christ is inseparable from love for Christ's flock, and that the task before him would be to feed the lambs and to tend the sheep and to feed the sheep, all Christ's people, and that would become Peter's life's work. And this would be a part of the cost of following Christ. Though a blessed path, and one with great promises and rewards in everlasting life, it would be a path of self-denial. And in Peter's case, whom like the Savior whom he would follow, it would end his life in suffering and death. And history, we pointed out, has told us that Peter was in fact crucified, and some believe even upside down. We noted last week that Peter's supreme love for Christ is affirmed. And the cost of that love was made clear by Christ's example and instruction to him. And it is then, at the end of that, that Jesus says to Peter, in verse 19, as we started our text, after saying these things to him, Jesus said, "Follow me." And note the double meaning here as Jesus tells him, "Follow me." Because as Jesus says to him, "Follow me," Jesus clearly stands and walks away. And Peter follows. And you can be sure there is John right behind following. And I like to think in my own mind that the other five also probably got up and followed Jesus as he went. And so as we come to this text today, Christ's last recorded conversation in this gospel, it's interesting to note that Jesus repeats these words again at the end, and I'm sure that Peter, all of his life, would remember these were the last words, except for the Great Commission, that were recorded in any event. Just these words, you, follow me. And these are words Jesus frequently used in his ministry. You might remember on earth, right from the outset when he came to call his disciples, "Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." And through his frequent teaching, you may recall Jesus saying, "If anyone would follow me," or "if anyone would be my disciple," these words. Now Jesus repeats words which are clearly very important. And we have before us, in dealing with Peter, great insight into what it involves being a follower of Christ. It is no light thing to profess Christ and to love him supremely, more than all of these, whether possessions or persons. And it is loving Christ supremely that the responsibility is placed on every believer to love one another, to mind out for one another, that we are our brother's keeper. And those things alone, by the grace and the work of the Spirit in the heart, qualify us to be disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ and to follow him. And so Jesus' teaching precedes this command, "Follow me." To follow me, you must love me supremely. To follow me, you must love my flock and care for them, Peter, as is also our responsibility. Let me remind you, as we get to our text here very briefly this afternoon, of that text that I mentioned last week that's recorded in Matthew, Mark, and Luke, almost identically in those, and that is taught throughout this gospel. And this is it, and I quote the one from Luke 9:23, and he said to all, "If anyone would come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me." And so that's what we want to observe. What does it mean to follow Christ? What does it mean to follow Christ? We have two main points today in our outline with three sub-points under each. But the second point is going to be really short and is really going to be by way of encouragement. So we spend most of our time in the first point. Consider in the first place, and each of these sub-points begins with the word, when Christ calls us to follow him, we must be willing to. That's the first point, the three sub-points. We must be willing to deny ourselves. The follower of Christ, the one who claims that he loves Christ supremely, and the one who then must love and tend and care for Christ's sheep, must deny himself. And the world tells us, doesn't it? Indulge yourself. And we love it when people say, it's your birthday. Get spoiled. Indulge yourself. Spoil yourself. You've earned it. The common worldly advice to us in making decisions, what should I do about this? What should I do about that? What is the advice of the world? Or do what is best for you. Make the best decision for you. But Jesus says, if anyone would come after me, let him deny himself. To the rich young man, you remember, who kept the commandments of God, outwardly anyway, but went away sad, even though he desired to be a follower of Christ. Riches exceeded his love for Christ, for he was a rich man, and he was not willing to deny himself his riches. To another would-be disciples, you may remember, his priority was a very good one. Let me go take care of my father. Must bury him. I have family matters to attend to. He too would not deny himself for the sake of his family. Whoever loves mother and father more than me is not worthy of me. Whoever loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. How does Christ expect this from us? Christ denied himself the glories of heaven. Christ denied himself the comforts of earth because he loved God supremely, and his perfect love for the Father constrained Christ to follow the will of the Father and constrained Christ to perfect obedience to the law of God that he loved and to perfect love to those that God had given him to redeem from out of the world. Christ's love for God led our Savior to deny himself for the sake of the kingdom of heaven. Brothers and sisters, is a servant greater than his master? Self-denial is a trademark of those who follow Christ. To give up my comforts and my ease for the sake of the gospel, and because of my supreme love for Christ, his will and his word is our first resolve and priority. To know Christ and the power of his resurrection in me, and like Paul to say, for me to live is Christ and to die is gain. His will and his word, my only priority. Love for Christ, knowledge of Christ, obedience to Christ, service to Christ. This is of surpassing worth and trumps all. Christ did not cling to his rights in glory. What does Philippians tell us? He emptied himself. Christ did not come to serve, be served, but he came in the form of a servant. Christ did not come to judge the world, he said so himself, but to obey the Father's command and to lay down his life for the sins of his people to the point of death, death on the cross. That is what it means to deny yourself. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, though he was rich, yet for your sake he became poor, so that by his poverty you might become rich. And it is this that drove and motivated the Apostle Paul to deny himself like every other apostle. Indeed, he says, I count everything as loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for whose sake I have suffered all things and count them as rubbish for the surpassing worth of knowing Christ, in order that I may gain Christ. Secondly, when Christ calls us to follow him, we must be willing to pick up our crosses daily and follow him. Look at verse 21 and 22, and here's Peter again, and Peter will always be Peter. When Peter saw him, that is John, following away behind them, "Lord, what about this man?" Jesus said to him, "It is my will that he remain until I come. What is that to you? You follow me." Now, verse in Luke, "If anyone would come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow me." Following Christ means imitating Christ. Consider the Savior as he carried his own cross, figuratively and literally. From his humiliation and humbling in his incarnation, his perfect life of obedience, his keeping the law of God perfectly for us, his self-denial for the sake of the kingdom of God, and the path of suffering to the cross, where he cries, my God, why have you forsaken me?" This is the cross that the Savior had to bear. From being born in a lonely, stinking stable, to dying the death of a criminal, a cursed death on the cross. This is the cross that our Savior picked up daily in following the commands of God and the will of God, motivated by his love for God and a desire for the glory of God. This is the cross that God placed upon his Son, which he willingly bore perfectly, accomplishing the will of God perfectly. It was a cross designed by God for his glory, for his Son that he bore perfectly. Right up to the horrors of the cross, in his darkest hour, when even God turned his face upon it away from his Son, and he was only present with his Son in wrath as he poured out his justice and crushed his Son. It was God's cross for his Son to bear, and he bore it. Peter's cross was laid out for him, and we saw this last week. And this he now understood. It was a cross of blessed service to the one that gave his life that he might live. It was to be a life like Christ, of self-denial in Peter's case, a life scattered with hardships, imprisonment, suffering, and the path designed for Peter by Christ, we know, ended in death, most likely the death on a cross like our Savior. But in our text, we see Peter kind of, and Pastor Rick and I were talking in the service before the service, say, kind of falls into his own old ways when he sees John, the beloved disciple, behind him. He's just been told of his cross that he would bear. What of him, Lord? What about John? Will it be easier or harder for him? Is his part the same of mine? And from Peter's side, I hope he could see that was an impertinent and improper question. Christ uses this opportunity to emphasize to Peter to focus on the work at hand for him as an apostle, and not to overly concern himself with in Christ's dealings with the other apostles. Brothers and sisters, Christ deals with each one of us and each one of his apostles uniquely and sovereignly, so we are not to compare our labors with others, our afflictions, our trials, and our sufferings compared to others. And we like to do this, don't we? Taking up the cross he has sovereignly given to us daily, whatever that cost of that cross may be, and wherever that cross may take us. And sometimes we may think we follow better and more diligently than others. Why can't others be like me? Or we may feel our service to Christ is inferior. I accomplish so little for Christ. And we feel our trials and infirmities are lighter. But what is that to us? In his words to Peter, What is that to you? You follow me. And Christ has given each one of us a cross to bear. And we are to pick up our crosses daily and follow him. The cross prepared for you by Christ is yours. Take it up daily. Bear it gladly. This is following Christ. Whatever your station in life, whatever your infirmity, whatever your service, how big or small, however, how much your ease, how much your suffering, take up your cross daily and follow Christ. Set the believers an example in speech, in conduct, in love, in faith, in purity. Brothers and sisters, I thought about this verse of setting an example for others. This is not only for their benefit, that others may see or recognize, or as we might think, so that they can do better by looking at me, but rather it is for ourselves. This is our call in our work. This is the work that Jesus had for Peter. He says, what is it to you, what I have for John? You follow me. You be faithful in the work that I give you, in our circumstances, and all God's providences in our lives for us. Do not compare yourselves to others. What does this lead to? This leads to pride or to depression. When you see how much someone else does, how small my service is, or to discontentment, you follow Christ. Look only to Jesus and be content. For godliness with contentment is great gain. Brothers and sisters, it is only when we imitate Christ that others can benefit from imitating you. So that is your call. Follow Christ. Walk the path he has given you to walk, and walk it faithfully. Whether you're a child in 10th grade or a young man in the street living in a world that is full of sin and adultery and fornication, you follow Christ. The walk the path he has given you, and walk it faithfully. This is an important lesson, brothers and sisters. Mind your own duties in following Christ. Do not concern yourselves with the things that do not belong to you. And this leads us to our third and last sub-point under this main heading. When Christ calls us to follow him, thirdly, we must be willing to suffer and even die for him. Well, in John's case, it turns out that John did live to a ripe old age. What sufferings and trials and death he faced was his cross given to him by Christ to bear daily. And John the Apostle, as with all the Apostles, their benefit to the kingdom of God has been according to God's plan. And his benefit in John's case and Peter's case and Paul's has been enormous, like thousands after them. He had his cross to bear daily, and he followed Christ faithfully. And he too, like every other Apostle, was willing to suffer for Christ and even die for Christ. And Peter, the Apostle Peter, he saw suffering and death, and he is one we know, like Stephen, like James, beheaded, and others. And whatever our crosses that are faithfully carried, they are always to the benefit of the people of God. So carry your cross faithfully. Paul writes in 1 Corinthians 1:6, he says, if we are afflicted, it is for your comfort and salvation. And if we are comforted, it is for your comfort, which you experience when you patiently endure the same sufferings that we suffer. Brothers and sisters, this too is a mark of every child of God, to suffer for him as Christ suffered for us. Romans 8 expresses it, and if children, then heirs, heirs of God and fellow heirs with Christ, provided we suffer with him in order that we might also be glorified with him. Peter's love for Christ would in the years ahead be sorely tested, as it was already, and he failed in that test. As will every saint, as Christ and his Spirit prepares us to fit us for heaven, conforming us to the image of his Son through our daily walk as we take up our crosses and follow him. Jeremiah the weeping prophet, he had his cross. Read in 10 and verse 19. Woe is me because of my hurt, says Jeremiah. My wound is grievous. But I said, truly this is an affliction and I must bear it. Take up your cross and follow Christ daily. And Jesus' words to Peter. What is that to you? What concern is John of you? You, Peter, follow me. Brothers and sisters, when Christ calls us to follow him, we must be willing to deny ourselves. We must be willing to pick our crosses daily and follow him. We must be willing to suffer and even die for him. That's the first point. Now, second point, very briefly this afternoon, I'm working hard to keep it short today. Secondly, when we follow Christ, and there I have three sub-points, blessed encouragements and promises from the Lord Jesus Christ as we follow him, because face it, I didn't bring a whole lot of good news this afternoon. You must deny yourself, you must take up your cross and follow Christ, you must suffer for him, you may even have to die for him, and don't say, never me. Who knows what's happening in the world today? God only knows. But here are blessed encouragements to those who follow Christ. When we follow Christ, first of all, he gives us his Spirit. He gives us his Holy Spirit, the Comforter, the Spirit of Truth, the Intercessor on our behalf. You think you're having a tough time? You think nobody cares? You think your prayers are not being heard? The Holy Spirit intercedes with groans on your behalf at the Father's right hand. The Holy Spirit produces his fruit in our lives. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, meekness, self-control. This is the fruit that he's producing in our lives. This is the promise of Jesus to the disciples at Pentecost. He will pour out his Spirit. This is the promise of Christ to you, believer, as you sit here. The promise of his Spirit. It is through Christ's Spirit that we are sanctified in the Word, bringing the truth to light when we hear it preached, piercing our consciences, conforming us to the image of his Son. And it is the coming of the Spirit at Pentecost that transformed the faltering faith of these fearful disciples. And they became and came to realize the power of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, transforming people's lives. When they stand up and preach, the Holy Spirit moves like a wind, and 3,000 are converted. Brothers and sisters, the Lord Jesus Christ promises us his Spirit. As we follow Christ, we have the Spirit of the living God, an abiding presence in every believer who remains with us forever. And Pastor Sam mentioned the fact, if we realize that God tabernacles with men, that Jesus is here, how then would we live? Do we need that cloud and the fire and the seraphim and the smoke and the voice from heaven? He has spoken in these last days. Behold, God is tabernacling with man. By his Spirit, he is present with us forever in our hearts. This is a blessed encouragement. Secondly, when we follow Christ, he promises us his own presence. He has given us his Spirit, but when we follow Christ, he promises us His presence. What Jesus promised to His disciples at the ascension is a perpetual promise to every believer of all time. And you can take that to the bank. You can bank that with surety. This is our surety. I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Christ Himself, the divine omnipotent Son, as He commissions His disciples and the church through every age, God is not a man that He should lie. And He declares, "Behold, I am with you always, even until the end of the age." Brothers and sisters, He is with His church. Christ walks continually among the seven golden lampstands. You know what that means? Jesus is here. He is present in the worship of His people. He is present in the sacraments. He is present when you are rejoicing and when you are weeping. He is present when you are discouraged and when you are encouraged. He is present when you sin and when you repent and confess your sin. He is present when you obey Him. He is with you as you follow Him. He blesses and rewards those who deny Him themselves, who bear afflictions patiently, who follow Him in suffering for His name's sake. As that hymn, the wonderful hymn goes, "Though trials oppress us and burdens distress us, He never will leave us alone." Jesus promises us His presence. And this leads us to the third and final blessed encouragement. When we follow Christ, oh blessed day, He will take us to be with Him. That is the promise. Remember John 14, Jesus started talking about, so plainly about His pending suffering and death. And "I must go to my Father. I'm going to leave you." And what does He do? He assures them and He promises His troubled disciples these words, "Let not your hearts be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me." And then what? "In my Father's house are many mansions and many rooms. If it were not so, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you," here it comes, "I will come again and will take you to myself, that where I am, you may be also." Jesus desires and longs for uniting the church to Himself in glory. And He has promised that He will come. Brothers and sisters, heaven shall make amends for all. Whatever you endure in this life, whatever your sufferings, whatever your joys, whatever your sorrows, whatever your afflictions, heaven will make amends for all. Follow Christ. "If anyone would come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow me." It's a long quote for late afternoon, but I'm going to read this quote by John Gill as we close out our study, and it's particularly these words, "To follow Christ. Christ is to be followed by His people as their leader and commander, as the shepherd of His flock, as the guide in the way, as the forerunner that has gone before, as the light of the world, as the pattern and example of the saints, as their Lord and Master, and that in the exercise of every grace, as humility and meekness, love, zeal, patience, and resignation to the will of God, and also in the discharge of duty, both with respect to moral life and conversation, submission to ordinances, and likewise as enduring sufferings patiently and cheerfully for His sake." Saints are under obligation to follow Christ. It is their interest to do so. It is honorable, safe, comfortable, and pleasant. And it ends in happiness here and hereafter. John closes off his letter by his book by saying, "This is the disciple who's bearing witness about these things and who has written these things. And we know that his testimony is true. And we know this because the Holy Spirit carried him along. Now there were also many other things that Jesus did. Were every one of them to be written, I suppose that the world itself could not contain the books written in him." Brothers and sisters, what is that to you? Follow Christ. Let's pray together. Our Heavenly Father, how we thank you for the blessed Word of God. How we thank you for your Word which breathes life into us. How we thank you for your Spirit which illumines us and helps us to understand and leads us into all truth necessary for salvation. How we thank you for the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, that God so loved us that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. Lord Jesus Christ, help us to follow you closely. Help us to walk in the path that you have set for us, looking to Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith. And we look forward to that day when you will come again in glory and take us to be with you forever. We give you thanks in Christ's name. Amen.